Hey everyone, I'm excited to introduce you to Dr. Anna D, who is the founder of Unity Chiropractic Wellness. She's a doctor. She has a doctorate of chiropractic medicine and then also has a corrective exercise specialist certification as well, or designation, I guess is the correct terminology. And yeah, I'm really excited to introduce to you her. She's one of the top rated doctors on ZocDoc. That's actually how I found her. And she's been killing it ever since, it sounds like.
Yeah. Hi, David. So thanks for inviting me to your podcast, to, you know, something that you've been passionately doing for a while. And I'm very glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certain people that have this energy that, you know, like they're just going to crush it in life. And ever since I met you, you've been very, very generous with not only your time and energy and contributing to orphans in Vietnam. And now we've expanded it to Thailand and Indonesia. So thank you for your very, very generous contributions there.
You're very welcome. Davidson, you're also someone who, like, I've just never really met many people like you. And I remember I was like, how is this guy able to connect so many people together? And how does this guy know so many people and has the energy to host all of these networking events and also still remain, like, you know, giving everybody a personalized attention and bringing everybody together? And I was like, I had to ask, like, what your sign was. And you were like, oh, you're a Leo, right? And I'm like, I've never really believed in any, like, astrology signs or anything. But when I met other people who were, like, pretty similar in that they gathered people together, I noticed that they were all Leos as well. So I don't know if it's astrology or whatever, but, you know, you are definitely a remarkable person. And I'm very happy to be a part of this and, you know, everything that you do.
Oh, that's very generous. Yeah, that it's. The Leo, it's interesting because I also don't follow a lot of that too. And yeah, you're right. I remember working at a company where there was four of us in the same section on the same team, and we were all Leos, and we all sat next to each other. And it was just crazy because, like, there's the office was maybe 300 people in that floor. Like, it was like pretty big office. And we definitely, like, were the life of the party, and we would always be
Leo energy.
Yeah. People would just be like, man, these guys, like, have a lot of energy. And people would always be like, what is going on over there?
I believe it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think one of the unique things is, like, I mean, you're also a bodybuilder. Like, you do a lot of different things. Like, how do you know, like, what to focus on? And I, you know, I know we talked a lot about, like, how do you know when's the right time to start your own business? Because I think that's probably the most common question that people ask.
So that's definitely a very good question, because I knew it was, well, I never really knew when was the right time to start my own business, because there was definitely some chiropractors who got out of school and went straight to business. And there were some that maybe waited a year and then, you know, found the space to lease from, you know, after getting, like, a big business loan. But with me, I was working for somebody else for maybe about 3 years, 3.5 years. And I always thought on this, like, in the back of my mind, oh, eventually when I save up enough, I'm going to write a business proposal. I'm going to bring it to the bank and I'm going to lease a large space with, like, 3 rooms, and I'm going to pay for all of the tables. I'm going to pay for a billing staff. I'm going to pay for a front desk, but I need to save all of that up first before I start business. And that was my original thought. That was how I originally thought I wanted to start my practice, with, like, a huge safety net of, like, you know, maybe, like, at least 3 months worth of rent. I wanted to have everything ready and going, and then, you know, sit there and have the patients come in. But then, because of the whole pandemic situation, actually I started my business in February of 2020 after, you know, not 2020, February of 2021. So actually this year, I started my business February 2020 of this year. And everything was still very, very slow. People weren't coming back into the city yet. And I managed to just kind of cold message physical therapists on LinkedIn to see if anybody wanted to sublease for like sublease office space for me. So because I messaged someone who had an existing office with, you know, an existing front staff and existing, you know, setup with like tables everywhere, and, you know, an existing patient base, I was able to just message him, message the physical therapist that I work with, who's integrated physical therapy. And I said, hey, you know, I used to work around Grand Central working for somebody else. Now I don't work there anymore. So could I, you know, maybe sublease from you and pay like a certain amount? Now, the original amount I had proposed was like really, 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 really lowballing like physical therapist, because, you know, I really couldn't afford much. I just knew I needed to start business now because, you know, I felt that I was kind of not giving as much time as I wanted to the patient, to like patients at my other job, because I had to see a lot of people all like within a short amount of time. But anyway, so I gave the physical therapist a really, really low offer for like my monthly rent. And he said, you know, I'm going to need like 50% more than that. So I, you know, was like, okay, I'll talk to my people. And I talked to my parents, and my parents were basically like, okay, well, you know, if you're very, very certain that you want to start business, we've got a little bit of money saved up in a TD bank, and you could just like use that money, right? So thank goodness I had that extra money that I was able to start, you know, I was able to be able to afford the extra 50% that he was proposing. And my dad was like, oh, make sure that you don't skimp on the advertising. He was like, you know, put ads on the newspapers and stuff, you know, because he's Chinese. So he only like, you know, looks at advertisements on the newspapers and stuff. So I started business. And at first I thought that I would just be sitting there kind of like twiddling my thumbs while I wait for patients to show up, right? But actually the business actually like hit the ground running because I had an existing amount of reviews from my old office, right? So what I suggest to an aspiring, you know, entrepreneur is to like start off, like if you could, you know, get your reviews up and get your reputation up under someone else's expense, right? Yeah. And even if, you know, maybe the place that you're working at, you're not getting any reviews, you know, you should take the time to ask the customers, ask the patients, can you leave a review under my like Google business name or under my Zocdoc? Because you yourself could start a Google business page and have the address as, you know, your employer's place, right? But if people look up your name, it'll match to your Google business name. And then people could leave a review for you. So then when it's time for you to finally open up your own office, you'll have that Google, you know, business page, and then you just change the address. So then, you know, your reviews never get tied to the employer's business. And instead, when you start your own business, people will be able to look you up and know exactly where you are. So I was able to hit the ground running because I had that existing patient base. But I mean, not patient base, but patient reviews, because when I left my old job, I wasn't allowed to reach out to the old patients and be like, hey, here's my new place. Right. But my Zocdoc, which is a appointments platform, right. In New York City and some big cities, I was able to get like 3 new patients on the first day. So that was February of 2021. And on that day, I remember there was a big snowstorm. So it was a huge snowstorm, February 1st, 2021. And the physical therapist called me on the Sunday before the Monday. And he was like, hey, we're not going to be open. Like, physical therapy department's not going to be here tomorrow because of the snowstorm. But if you still want to go in, you could go in. Right. And I was like, yeah, this is my first day. So I better go in. You know, I got to make things auspicious. I gotta set a precedent that even if there's a snowstorm, I'm gonna come in, right? Wow. So then I think because of that, you know, that mentality that I set for myself, like, hey, I'm, you know, I've been fun employed for a while, you know, I've been, you know, all of this and that, I'm going to go in and I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to be there from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. I'm going to try to be there 6 days a week, you know, in order to get my business going. Because some people wonder, how, weren't you afraid that you weren't going to have people come in? Weren't you afraid that, like, people wouldn't find you or whatever? But because, you know, and most people, when they first start off, they might only put a few like hours a week into their business, right? Maybe they'll do like only 2 days a week, only 3 days a week, maybe for only 4 or 5 hours, you know? But then if you're not there for the odd hours of the day, the early hours, the late hours, then, you know, you're losing that traffic. So if you want to start a business that's successful, get the reviews, be willing to have the long hours, and know that it doesn't take much to start your own business if you could, like, think outside of the box, because you don't need, like, that huge bank loan, that long lease to buy all of your own equipment. You could start off working at an existing office, but working for yourself. So,
So, wow, a lot of gems there. I think people don't realize, like you said, like the old school, like people think newspapers and stuff like that, but really our generation and basically every generation after this, online reviews are always going to be very important, right? That's why there's multi-billion dollar companies like AngelList, like Yelp, like all these, you know, there's all these, and then ZocDoc, right? It's like, if you don't master like the Google reviews and all that stuff, then I feel like you're almost doing yourself a disservice, because every new generation is going to be using online moving forward.
Yes. You know? Yes. Every new generation uses online stuff, and you have to figure out how you could accommodate to always being one step ahead or utilizing these things that are supposed to help your business. Like when I first tried to start getting more reviews for my business, I used an app. Well, you know, I used this service, this company that would send an email to a patient. And then in that email, it asks, so how was your visit with Dr. Anna D? And then it leaves 5 stars for you to, like, you know, possibly click. So if the patient clicked on 5, then a pop-up will pop up and it says, oh, do you mind leaving a review on Yelp, on Google or whatever, right? And if it was 4 or below, then it says, how could we have done better, right? So I thought this was what I needed. I was paying like $80 a month for this. I was just like simply, you know, inputting the patient's email address and then just clicking, all right, send. And what I was noticing was that the patients were clicking 5, you know, the ones that do open up the email were clicking 5, but then when the pop-up pops up, they don't follow through with it. You know, so it wasn't worth it, because it seems like it was still an impersonal way of asking for the review, right? The patients felt that, and I feel that the patients thought, hey, I left the 5, she knows I appreciate her, that's all I need to do, right? But what I noticed was that if I actually sent an email, a personal email to the patient after the visit, you know, giving like aftercare stuff, giving like exercise stuff, and then, you know, leaving at the bottom, by the way, if you liked your experience, could you please leave a review on ZocDoc? Or like putting a link, click here to leave a review on Yelp, click here to leave a review on Google. People were more likely to follow through with leaving the review because it was like right there in that email after they've read everything. Because I experimented with having that, like, oh, by the way, leave a review on the PS section, and people weren't following through with it because they read the sincerely Anna D and then they didn't read the PS part. So you got to put, by the way, can you leave a review before the sincerely part, you know, before the closure. And then I found that people were leaving reviews a lot. Another awesome thing that I suggest is to make sure that your system is integrated with all this like new technology. You know, it might be hard at first, and that's why some of the older doctors have a slightly harder time getting like new patients, except for their own original patient base. What I noticed is that older doctors are still doing a lot of stuff by paper and like book, you know, they're handwriting everything down. But if you have an advanced system that's integrated with, like, let's say for like online scheduling, right, then the patients are more likely to return, because there's a lot that will say, hey, you know, I don't know the next time I'm going to come in. Then you just say, hey, you could just go online and find out when I'm available. And the nice thing about that is if you allow them to go online to book their next appointment on appointment platforms like ZocDoc, right, a pop-up will literally pop up and say, by the way, how was your experience with Dr. Anna D? And then the patient will say, well, you know, I'm already going to her, so she's doing good. So I guess I'll just leave her a 5, you know?
Yeah.
So that's another great review generating platform. So there's so many things that if you just utilize technology, like it'll just make your job so much easier.
That's great to hear, because as a salesperson who has worked at Yelp and a lot of like software companies, sometimes we're not as present, because it takes time, right? Like once they implement something, usually you don't really see the results until like much later. But sometimes I lose sight of, I forget like how much impact like a lot of the stuff that I'm supporting my clients with, because usually, you know, when that happens, like I think like we take it for granted, right? Because I'm like, oh, software is everywhere, but then I forget that like not everyone is using the latest technology all the time, you know.
Yeah, I didn't even know to get on Zoom for this call. I was like, all right, I'm ready for your phone call. And then you're like, did you get my invite for Zoom? And I was like, oh, geez. Because, you know, as a chiropractor, I'm like not using these like...
Oh, I see.
Teleconference stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In person. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess because like I've worked at pretty much like some of the most innovative tech companies. So I'm like so used to it. This is like, you know, the 1,000th time I'm on Zoom. And then like you said, like, I forget that not everyone is basically using the same tools as I am all the time, you know?
Yeah, I didn't even know that this was going to be a person-to-person thing. But it worked out. It worked out, because we have a holiday dinner after this. So I was dressed relatively okay. Yeah, I don't have my fake eyelashes on, which is what I like. Yeah, it's okay. I think there's filters for Zoom to include that, but you know, I couldn't even get my microphone working today. So now this is the true me. So.
No, I don't want to skirt past that. Like clearly you offer like quality service, right? Like that's the foundation of why you've been so successful, right? And I don't know if you give yourself enough credit that like, oh, actually the reason why I've been so successful is because I'm doing like a really good job too, right?
Yes. So I definitely believe that I'm doing a very good job, because if I knew there was another chiropractor that did like what I did, I would go like see them, you know what I mean? But there's also a number of different chiropractors who all like practice very, very differently.
Yeah.
And you know, it all depends on what the patient's preference is. Like if some people just want to get in and get out, you know, with me, like the patients come in and it's like all half hour sessions, you know? So everybody's a half hour session, regardless if their insurance is high paying or low paying, or if they are someone who's like a self-pay, as in we're not doing insurance. So everybody is a very, very reasonable, like everybody's paying a very, very reasonable price. But of course, if every patient of mine was paying the discounted self-pay rates and stuff like that, I wouldn't be able to make ends meet, you know. But it's the high paying patients' insurances that kind of like make up for the ones who, you know, might not be able to afford visits. So I might give them like some sort of a discount. But for the most part, everybody that comes and gets, you know, the same treatment, because you never know if they end up having like better insurance one day, or they end up referring a friend or something. You don't want one person to only get like 10 minutes. And meanwhile, like another person getting like, you know, a lot, like 30 minutes worth of care, you know, so everything has to stay pretty consistent. But yeah, you know, everybody kind of experiments with what works in terms of like every visit, because at my old office, it used to be we would set a patient up on some like a modality, like electric stimulation. And then we would leave them there while we go and work on the next patient, right? So that's how things used to work. The electric stim was more of like a buffer between patients. So you'd be able to see like a decent amount of patients like every hour. But then what I found was that if I am with them the entire half hour, right, then everybody knows that they have a half hour slot instead of booking two people in the same slot and having one person on electric stim, the other person on, you know, you're working on, right? If you just give everybody, you know, one single appointment slot and not be seeing two people at the same time, then it'll also help with, you know, not only better treatments because you're with the patient the whole time, you're not just leaving them there, right? But it also helps to with like scheduling, as in sometimes one of the patients will come in a little bit later, right? And then you're like, oh, so what am I going to do now, right? But if a patient comes in late now, they know that they're eating into their half hour time slot. So they respect that time, right?
Yeah.
When it used to be that, you know, somebody came in late, it like threw everything off. So one reason why I spend so much time with people is because it makes it easier on me and it makes it easier for them as well. And also, like, to be honest, I could afford to see people every half an hour, but you know, there are some people who like, there's some chiropractors that spend maybe like 5 to 7 minutes on a patient, and you know, that's just what works for them. So you know, I'm not gonna tell them like, hey, like you should, you know, why would I tell them to spend longer times with patients if that's what's been working out for them? But because these are probably sometimes chiropractors that are in network who are getting paid a lot less from insurances, so they have no choice but to spend like maybe 5 or 7 minutes. Or they, you know, they're in network and this is the new patient visit. And, you know, there are some new patients who say that they go to the chiropractor and they don't get treatment on the same day, right? And the reason why is because the chiropractor is really only limited to, you know, that same small amount of reimbursement. So why would they spend an extra amount of time doing, you know, because it would essentially be like, you know, two visits on the same day for them, because they're getting paid like not that much from insurance companies. So if I'm getting paid more from insurance companies, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I make it worth it to the patient.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, this is a pretty loaded question, but like, what do you think of like in the medical / insurance industry in America? Like, do you think that it works, or like it could be better?
So of course America is very, you know, capitalist, right? Where we want to give everybody an opportunity to, you know, choose like good care and, you know, pay less for like, you know, possibly subpar care if, you know, you can't afford it, right? So in America, like, you know, the insurances that are government subsidized, like Medicaid, Medicare, and stuff like that, that doesn't cover chiropractic, right? Like commercial insurances cover chiropractic, but sometimes you have to, you know, pay like into a deductible, right? So it's like you pay the insurance money, but then when you go see the chiropractor or go see a physical therapist, you still have to pay for the full visit before insurance even covers anything, which for some patients might be a surprise because, you know, the only doctor they've ever gone to is the primary care physician or their annual OBGYN, and they usually don't have to pay anything, but that's because that's covered, right? So when patients come to see me, sometimes they're surprised that they're like, oh, wait, why do I have to pay for the full amount? Well, because your deductible hasn't been met yet or whatever. So there's a lot of people who really don't understand their insurance. And of course, this is not something that you learn at school, right?
Yeah.
And this is not something that you even learn from your job or even the person who provides the insurance. You know, people are like, what's the difference between a deductible a deductible and a and an out-of-pocket max. Those are both huge numbers. You know, people just kind of like look for what's the cheapest insurance that they could get and then opt for that. Well, when you do that, then basically sometimes it's like not really any insurance at all. So, but you know, of course I try to make sure that it's affordable for patients who still have like that high deductible that they could still come and see me. In fact, seeing me is like cheaper than like getting a massage somewhere as well, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a big fan of getting massages, you know, but of course, like with me, people see me, they pay their rate, they don't even have to tip, you know, and they're getting that half hour session. So in most cases, it's actually like pretty worth it, you know. So there's definitely some patients who come in and, you know, don't realize that on their first visit, I spend like 15 minutes assessing their posture and telling them what got them to that point. Cause you know, I feel like, you know, and then like some parts of me are like, oh man, I just want to get them on that table already because, you know, they're looking like they're in a lot of pain, but I know I have to explain to them what's happening first.
Right.
So then even when they're getting the treatment, they, you know, they will know, oh, when she's stretching me, my joints are like plumping up, you know what I mean? Like they can visualize what's happening with their body as opposed to me just like playing magic tricks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they'll know what's happening. So let's see, I gotta get back to your original question on what I think about the whole insurance situation right now. I mean, I don't think it's really gonna change that much because you know, different medical fields have different like political bodies of people like trying to get higher reimbursements from insurances that even if we did universal healthcare, you know, certain providers are going to want to be paid more than other providers. If I'm getting, you know, the same payment as somebody who's in network, you know, I feel like I could still make ends meet because it's fine with me. But then for some people, you know, they have like some like really crazy rents and, you know, crazy amounts of staff that I don't know if things would, you know, they would make ends meet.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a complex, it's like you said, it's not as simple as, right. Cause there's so many moving pieces and so many people. And then, like you said, even politics is involved, right? So it's just a very complex situation, and as much as we hate on it, like at least in America, like we have access to quality health, right? I hear overseas
for some people have access to it.
Well, if you have money, I guess. But I mean, if you have money in any country, I feel like you have access in general. But I always hear when people are overseas and there's these places that we're like, oh, they have like universal health care, and then they're like, yeah, then have to wait 4 hours to get something done, you know.
Yeah,
that's like the trade-off.
Yeah, chiropractic in America, fortunately, is covered under insurances because chiropractic was basically founded in America, and you know, we've had to grow a very strong political body to try to make sure that we get paid by insurances without the need of a referral from an MD, because back when we first started, you know, similar to many other health professions, you know, when we first started, chiropractic was associated with a lot of other like pseudoscience things like magnetism, using magnets to heal the body, or, you know, claims that chiropractic could help with like curing people's hearing and stuff like that. So of course the medical community like was not recommending or encouraging chiropractic. So because of that, chiropractors had to fight with insurance companies to get direct access, which means, you know, to not need an MD for referral to see them. And because of that, medical doctors have never really needed to write any referrals for chiropractors. And in fact, you know, never really suggest chiropractic as an option because they're not taught in school how to refer to a chiropractor. You know, and not only that, but patients for the most part aren't even, you know, going to the medical doctor and asking for a referral because for the most part, their insurances don't request them to ask for the referral. So when it comes to that, you know, I'm very happy and blessed to be in a country that, you know, will pay for this type of service because, you know, this is something that's usually a cash thing. in Europe and Asia, you know, and everywhere else except for America and Canada. So, but Canada is, I think Canada is a universal healthcare that actually does cover chiropractic. So that's something I haven't really looked into too, like, that much, but it works there.
You know, it's interesting. I didn't realize this, but a lot of my friends became ODs, like doctors of osteopathy.
DOs.
And that like confused me, because I mean, I'm sure they don't go as detailed as, like, you know, getting like yours, right? But they do learn some of these things, and I'm like, well, you can do like adjustments. Like, that's, to me, like, I was so surprised that they learned that in school.
Yes. So doctors of osteopathy are taught how to do that, and that's what really sets them apart, that they could do like adjustments in here and this and that. However, you know, I think what they realized is that, you know, because their profession also allows them to do medical stuff and get reimbursed for medical stuff, it's much more profitable to just be a medical doctor that, you know, prescribes and, you know, sees like patients for the common ailments that aren't musculoskeletal. So then doctors of osteopathy usually don't really do too much manipulation, as in, like, you know, like hands-on, like moving the joints or the muscle in a certain direction. But there are some that are like that. But yeah, it is something that's in their toolkit, but not a lot of them like actually practice that way.
Yeah, that's very accurate. My best friend, he went to Rowan, or I guess it used to be UMDNJ. So a lot of their friends, like when I hang out with them, like there's only one guy that will just for fun, like will do it for me and my wife. But yeah, everyone else, like they don't do it. And like, you know, only in school, when they were in school, like they would do it. But nowadays, like they don't even mess with it anymore, really.
Yeah, they could bill for it, but it's a lot of work, you know, like, you know, I can bill for it, but I spend like 30 minutes with the patient, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like, yeah, you're clearly very knowledgeable and very passionate about what you do. And it's interesting, right? Because I do think there's still some people that they're like, oh, well, show me the science and show me. But then at the end of the day, like, I always feel good after our session. So I'm like, well, I don't care about the science if I just feel great afterwards, right? You know?
Yes, because there's definitely a lot of chiropractors who, like, you know, on your first visit, they just do like, you know, reflex testing. They have you look up, they have you look left, they have you look right, and then like ask if there's any pain and spend a lot of time just like doing that. But I found that the most beneficial visit would be a visit where the patient comes in and I literally look at their posture and how they're standing and explain to them exactly what muscles are painful and why it's painful. And they could visually see that, you know, these, like, this is literally how their body is. So, because I don't want the patients to think I'm like performing magic tricks, you know what I mean? Like, I want them to understand what got them to that position so that they'll understand, like, why the exercises are important that I show them and why certain things that I do are therapeutic, you know, because when the patients can visualize their bodies like healing, it's better than, you know, I'm pressing buttons and it's making things better. You know, they're like, oh, she's doing this for this reason. She's doing this for this reason. And I feel that certain chiropractors might not be communicating things very well, because the patient will say, I have neck pain, and the chiropractor is like, okay, lay face down, you know, because maybe they just don't have the time. They got to get to the next patient, you know, like if you go to a doctor and they're telling you to take a pill, they're not telling you, all right, well, this is the pathway that the pill is going to, you know, reach your brain, and this is what the pill is going to do. Some providers just don't have the time to explain. And fortunately with me, you know, I do like whole 30 minute sessions. I explain everything. So, you know, that it benefits me, it benefits the patients. It's good.
That's a good point. You are much more communicative than most medical professionals and compared to other chiropractors as well. Like you do take the time to, and it's interesting. Yeah, I think in our society, maybe because we're such a capitalistic society, like you said, like it's almost like when you're getting paid like per hour or whatever, it's hard not to view like time as money, you know?
Oh yeah, it's hard to view things like that. And another thing is that they always say that if you plan to expand and maybe like hire somebody else, which I do plan on doing soon, they say to, you know, step back and see how you can make things more efficient, you know, before you hire somebody else, see how you can make things more efficient. So, you know, I guess what I could do is I could spend like 15 minutes on a patient and they would still get better and stuff. But, you know, personally, like I, it's just much more easier for me and for the patient. And it's much more easier and slow paced if I just do the half hour sessions. And even with, you know, doing half hour sessions with patients, I still am able to make ends meet. And I'm still like making far more than I've ever made as an associate, which is why I was able to, you know, make the donations that I did this year, because it was just like money that I didn't even expect to get, you know what I mean? Like some patients who I thought I would like get not that much from, as in like with their insurance ends up paying me a lot more. And I'm like, you know what, I'll just give away the extra, you know, because like I didn't expect it. Or some patients might come in who work for a like charitable or, you know, a company that, you know, really needs donations. And I'll just be like, you know what, I'll just, you know, give you some of my profits or whatever. It's like, I've got, I mean, I don't want to like go around and say like, I've got all this like money, like sitting around that, you know, I don't have anything to do with it, because of course I still value the money, because I remember when I first made my first you know, donation to like anti-Asian hate crimes, right? That was my very first donation ever. And this was maybe like a month and a half or something out of, you know, just starting my business, right? Maybe like 2 months after starting my business. And I knew the moment that I donated a thousand, my sister was gonna probably message me and be like, yo, why'd you donate $1,000, right? Because I knew that she would say like, that's like grandma's New Year's money, you know what I mean? Like, because my parents, because this was close to Chinese New Year's, which was like mid-February. So, you know, I remember my parents both gave me like, you know, $100, and then they were like, oh, and this is from grandma, and it's like $200, right? And I was like, oh, thank you so much, right? And I was very, very appreciative that they were giving me like, you know, this like hard earned money from them. And, you know, of course, like my grandma, you know, she's like not making much money, you know, it's like all government stuff. So like my sister was seeing it as like me giving away my parents' money and my grandma's money, you know what I mean? She was like, and like, you know, I felt bad too, you know, but then I had that extra money. And if I keep on like associating with any money that I spend or anything that I donate as like, you know, as the hours and effort that my parents put in to get that money, right? Then, you know, then I would be doing a disservice to myself, as in I wouldn't be, you know, like, I don't know, like treating myself well, and I wouldn't be treating, you know, the community with like all of this money if I just like held it like in the bank account and like not gave it back, you know what I mean? So like so that's been a big change, like seeing the money that's generated in terms of how many hours I put in versus how many hours my parents or my grandma would have had to put in for that same amount of money, you know. And my giving does not mean that I'm not going to give back to my own family, you know, and I'm not going to give back to my sister. And that, you know, because like my sister was like, oh, you should, you know, take that money and pay off your student loans with that money. Of course, my student loans will get paid eventually, you know, but like, as of right now, I've got this extra money to give, and might as well. And if I'm in a good, stable situation where I could give at my age, why wait until I'm like, you know, 40 and have paid off everything to start giving back? If I can give back now, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the way your mindset is like, it's, I feel like you're the perfect example of like, just like good karma, you know, Like, clearly you're doing a lot of good in the world, and you're, because you're giving back into this universe, like the universe like has rewarded you with, like, you know, obviously, like, a lot of things, like starting your own business and having clients, and like, just it's very obvious to me, at least, that, like, the more good we put in the universe, like, it's sometimes you can't explain it, right? To, like, it sounds like your sister is more rational. Sometimes you can't explain it to people, but it always comes back. It's just hard to see it sometimes, like, in that moment, you know?
Definitely does come back. And also, I've been fortunate to even have that extra money to give away. You know, the universe has given me, like, this, like, surplus, and I've recognized it as a surplus that I could give part of it back, you know, as opposed to being like, oh, thanks for the surplus, I'm going to hoard it for hard times, you know, because I've been privileged, right? Like, I've been privileged to be able to give the money back. And I think I think there'd be a lot of people, if they had the extra money to give, and if they had a business, you know, that was doing very, very good, like, it's even easier to give, because then, you know, if I personally gave like $1,000 for Asian Hate Crimes, you know, like, I wouldn't post like $1,000 and a D, I gave this away, you know. But if it was my business that gave that, then like posting, oh, the business gave $1,000, then it's like, oh, okay, great. People feel that they could contribute to my donations by coming, you know, as opposed to just be like, oh, okay, I'm glad I gave $1,000, you know. But if I post that I gave $1,000 and this is a business, people are like, oh, okay, this is direct, like, business funds going to it. And not only that, but it's because it's a business fund, I could just, you know, and, you know, this is the same with, like, even people who give personal funds, like, you know, it's, you give that money and it's not going to get taxed. You know what I mean? So I just, like, give that money, and then it feels like it, you know, that same amount of money isn't the same as, like, you know, something that would get taxed. Like, if I bought, like, a computer for $1,000, you know what I mean? This is like, you know, you give $1,000, but that's technically, you know, only like $600 in your part, because, you know, it doesn't include the 40% tax. So, I mean, so,
you know, I'm present too from your sharing, like, as weird as complex as our American society is in terms of the tax and insurance and medical systems, like, it all works, right? And at the end of the day, every country has its own problems and its own pros and cons. But I'm present too that, like, hey, like, there's a reason why they do some of these things, and sometimes we don't understand because we're not, like, an tax accountant, or you know, or most people aren't business owners yet, right? But then it's like, okay, like, there's a reason why they have these and sometimes it's just having faith and trust that, like, it's gonna work out, and not stressing so much about the future, you know.
Oh yeah, basically, you know, when I first started practice, I still didn't know that much about billing, because, of course, you know, I didn't have, like, a billing team or anything like that. I was sending out my own bills. And then when I was sending out my first bills, I was like, oh shoot, is insurance going to believe me that I saw this person today? You know what I mean? So I send out the bills and sat back, and next thing you know, insurance started, like, paying me, you know, they sent me the checks. So it was like all the doubts that I had, like, just, like, melted away. And then since then, it, like, everything's just been relatively smooth sailing for me. So I've been very, very happy about that. But of course, you know, I'm also, you know, here like 65 hours a week, you know, but because I like what I'm doing, it doesn't really feel that much like work at all. So I'm very lucky to do something that's just comes so easily and makes me happy and makes the patients happy.
Yeah, I feel like your mentality is very different than, like, a lot of Asians, like, typical Asians, right? I feel like, I mean, you know, it's like, well, I guess, you know, there's Asians obviously that have, like, their own business, like restaurants or nail salons, or, you know, like, different, like, the other generation that came before us. So maybe not, but I do think, like, we tend to, maybe because when we come here as immigrants, like, you know, they've endured a lot more risk and less stability. So sometimes it's hard for them to see like some of the things that we see, you know, and like you said, we are privileged that we have a little bit more, like, for the most part, we've had a lot of prosperity in our lifetime, right? Like minus like one or two recessions, and they probably have seen a lot worse, like in terms of like the ups and downs of life.
Yeah. We're both very, very lucky, and we recognize how much, I don't want to use the word privilege, but like, you know, we recognize how things have worked out for us, you know?
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that things work out for other people as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I know we're at time, but this has been really helpful. I think a lot of people will learn a lot from, like, whether they're curious in starting their own practice one day or it's clearly, it makes sense why you've been seeing a lot of success. I think you're doing you're putting good energy out there in the world and you're receiving it back. And I'm just happy that you're seeing the success you're seeing. And I'm also grateful that you've been able to contribute like so many in so many ways, like beyond like the donations and just the clearing you are for the world. So thank you so much for being the awesome person you are.
Thanks, Davidson. It was nice talking with you. Thank you for arranging this time. And I look forward to seeing you in person somewhere.
Yes. And, yeah.
And of course, if anybody ever wants to get in contact with me, they could always email me. They could always, call, they could always even text my business line as well. This is all stuff that you'd be able to find online just by looking my name up, Anna D, A-N-N-A-D-I.
Oh yeah, I'll post your email, your website, and your Zocdoc and all that good stuff.
Oh, sounds good. Thank you so much, Davidson.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I gotta get back to work.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care.